It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
And Paul Feinbaum on Football Fridays with Feinbaum. We catch him live here this morning in between phone calls with Dion, I guess. What's been going on, Paul?
Yeah, that's been I've gotten blamed for a lot of things this week that I had nothing to do with. But I was simply asked on an ESPN show the other that about Dion, and the next thing you know, Dion is pretty much writing my entire career off. So he said I'm a dying breed, and I'm out of touch with reality, and I'm only talking about him because he's hot.
Yeah.
Well, and he's only talking about me because he's thin-skinned, petty, and a narcissist. Anyway.
Yeah, it's I thought the season was getting started here at Colorado. I've seen a lot of other nervous coaches, you know, that are maybe not worried about the season getting started, but they have their mind on the game. Dion has had a lot of time here to go after the media, it seems, Paul.
Well, Dion never has missed an opportunity to get publicity, and you know, he is clearly the P.T. Barnum of this generation. For those who don't even know who P.T. Barnum was, he used to run the circus, that's pretty much what Dion does. But yeah, listen, I don't mind because, guys, by the time you get to the week of the first game, I mean, other than the Florida State mess from last weekend, there is not a single new thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. So. For those of us who are in the sports entertainment business, we particularly enjoy stories like this.
Well, let the games begin. That's what I say, Paul.
And they finally will.
Yep. Yes, that's for sure. You know, last week we spent a lot of time talking about the big changes. Before we get into some of this week's games, a couple we didn't bring up last week that we saw in action over the past weekend and the Thursday night games. Yeah. New two-minute warning. Which means you get an extra little commercial break in there. Helmet communications with the quarterback up until about 15 seconds on the clock, and tablets on the sidelines. Those are some pretty big in-game changes. Do you think that'll have a major effect this year?
I think they will help the communication. Obviously, Connor Stallions, who was the Michigan guy last year, jumped the gun on this in-game communication deal. I think it's necessary, frankly. Why do we have to, you know, play stupid games with, you know, looking over the sideline, trying to hide it? I mean, just talk directly to the quarterback. And I mean, it would be a little confusing to me, among all the other noise, but I like it very much. And a lot of things, the 2 minute warning, the last couple of minutes of a game, as you guys know, takes so long. I don't really think that's significant. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of conversation about the kickoff rules in the NFL, but you know, every year we hear it's all about safety, but I've yet to see much evidence of that.
You know, Ed, real quick on this conversations, you know, not all offensive coordinators are built the same. So if you have it's kind of crazy that a quarterback will be distracted by a dim-witted offensive coordinator for 15 seconds leading up to each snap. If you have a bad coach, I don't think it helps.
No, and by the way, I've stood on those sidelines, and they still can't get the signal in. that's all an offensive coordinator does. Right. He works on the game plan. He works on situations. So when he sees something out there, he should be able to communicate. But my first year covering Alabama, I stood about 10 feet away from Bear Bryant and Mal Moore. Some may remember him in a game in Mississippi that Alabama lost, ending this 27-game winning streak and costing them a national championship. And to this day, I'm still waiting for Mal Moore to get the play into the quarterback. They fumbled on the goal line in Jackson, Mississippi, and lost the game. And I waited about 30 years to bring it up. Now that Mal and Coach Bryan are both gone, because I didn't want to embarrass. But I was always wanting to ask Mal. Mal, sir, I was 5 feet away from you. And I think what he would have told me was he was waiting for Coach Bryant to tell him what he wanted to do, and Bryant, in the moment, just couldn't think straight.
Wow.
There's a story right there.
A heck of a story. Let's keep talking about the Tide. And, of course, DeBoer, game one. Kalen DeBoer is the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Western Kentucky coming into Tuscaloosa. They're sitting around 31, 32-point favorites are the Tide. What are you, if you're an Alabama fan, wanting to see from this game one this week?
I want to see Jalen Milroe. How does he handle this new offense? And it's definitely you saw my dogs excited about the season. it's definitely a new offense. Roll Tide, buddy. I think that's really what I'm most interested in. And you know, what is DeBoer like? He's done a lot of things right. He's not been the most exciting coach I've been around, but I might suggest him taking my dog with him to the game Saturday night, get him out of my house. But other than that, I mean, I think it's really all about the offense. The defense is not going to be showing up one way or the other against Western Kentucky.
Yeah, and I sympathize. I went out and got a blue tick coonhound after Tennessee beat Alabama just a couple years ago. So he's a loud one too, Paul. So we're dog friendly here. No worries about that at all.
You got Auburn, of course, and you got Hugh Freeze right here on FM Talk 106.5. They've got an opener against Alabama A&M and a big favorite there, but not the score. But what would Auburn want to see out of their team?
I think the same. When I used to cover teams for a newspaper, I mean, these games, you were basically down there just studying just how the operation flows, because there's not much to be gained. And quite frankly, I don't think in either game you're going to see either coach give very much away. Mm-hmm. Kirby Smart said something really interesting the other day. It's unlike the NFL. You know, we get out there. We have no idea what we're going to see. All we can do is look at the previous year. And that's not a very good indicator, especially when you have a new coach. So for Hugh Freeze, it's, do they look crisper? But this game, I don't want to dissuade anyone from going down and listening here on the station. But it's a good game to take your kids to, and maybe at halftime say, hey, let's get one more hot dog and go home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a co-host who thought the same thing last year about, was it New Mexico State? Took the kid out there to the Auburn game there. That didn't work out as well as he had planned then, but we'll see. A lot of new recruits, a lot of transfers that came in there.
Yeah, I remember that week. That was the beginning of the – at some point, somewhere around the middle of November last year before that game, Hugh Freeze's defensive coordinator took a two-week vacation because he didn't make it to that game, and he certainly didn't make it to the final play of the Iron Bowl.
No, nobody was there. Nobody was home then.
We do have some really good matchups this week one, including SEC teams. And I guess if we go chronologically, how about two programs, one that is really, really has high hopes this year, Miami, and they're heading to the Swamp. And I think a 2:30 game. I guess I messed up the chronological with Georgia-Clemson. But Miami at Florida, Cam Ward, quarterback for Miami. What are we going to see in Gainesville this Saturday?
That is one of probably the two most interesting games of the day for me, or the weekend, I should say, because I don't think either team can, either coach can really afford to lose this game. And for Florida, it's a little more important because Cristobal has not had a great run so far in Miami, but he has a really good team with Cam Ward. Florida is a mystery. The schedule has been talked about ad nauseum, but if should they lose this game, their path to a .500 or a winning record is almost shut, and that's before we get to September.
Georgia-Clemson, Georgia seems to be the big favorite, but I don't know if that's going to be the case. Paul, how do you see that game?
For some strange reason, I see this game being a little closer maybe than maybe the betting line is. And that's not for I think Georgia's a little bit banged up right now. Clemson has something to prove. And, I mean, by the way, so does Georgia. But I just think there's so much pressure on Dabo Swinney to get this program back. And this is probably his biggest opportunity of the year. It's the biggest game he'll play.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, another game we're fired up around here about is Notre Dame at College Station and taking on Elko in his first year as the Texas A&M head coach. Of course, we're fired up. Riley Leonard, now the quarterback at Notre Dame, the former Fairhope quarterback, and then Duke with Elko, and then now on to the Irish. Only a 2.5-point spread in this one, and the funniest thing to me would be if Jimbo's gone and A&M ends up having some kind of record year in the first year with Elko. A lot to prove for both of these sides Saturday night, too.
Yeah, you know, I saw, not to get off the subject, I saw Jimbo's now going to be on like satellite radio once a week giving his opinion. Like, how can anybody understand what that guy says? I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah, will Ed Orgeron be his co-host? Or?
You know what? That might be a Kelce Brothers podcast right there for $100 million. That's a very intriguing game because obviously Leonard played for Elko and now Elko's coaching against him. I'm guessing Elko knows a little bit more about Leonard's tendencies than Leonard knows about Elko. So I really like A&M in this game. I think the Saturday night crowd, Kyle Field, is the difference.
I'm going to wrap up. The weekend wraps up LSU, USC. LSU enough on defense to get this win?
Barely enough. I think the offense is probably both offenses are really good. But in my mind, I just don't buy what's going on out there at USC. I think they're a program in great transition. And Lincoln Riley is about to find himself on the hot seat.
Yeah, well, you always speak so highly of Lincoln Riley. I'm so confused, Paul.
I go from listen, guys. Without Harbaugh and Saban, I've got to pick on somebody.
There's plenty to choose from, but he's a good candidate. And you know, these two teams looking so differently offensively as well. Maybe not the points we would have seen last year with Daniels behind one line and Williams behind the other, kind of remaking both offenses.
No, exactly. I think LSU is going to be okay. I talked to Brian Kelly the other day, and you know, he's trying to mask the problems on defense. But I think Nussmeier, quarterback, it's a drop off, but it's really not significant. He will be one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC.
All right. Paul, thanks for the conversation this morning. We always appreciate it, and we know that you're getting stretched in a number of directions with your conflict with Neon Deion, so thanks for taking time.
Yeah, he's on the other line, ready to yell at me again. Guys, I'll see you next week.
All right, thank you. Paul Finebaum, the Paul Finebaum Show, 2 to 6 every weekday afternoon right here on FM Talk 106.5, and it's presented by Bryant Bank. Football Fridays every Friday morning right here at 8 o'clock. And coming back, more Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. Stay tuned.